Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories. This week, we kick off a series of new interviews. As I mentioned last week, I found a free internet service called RadioGuestList.com. This is a great service that brings authors and other professionals together with podcasters and the media. I recommend this to anyone who needs to find a guest for their show. On the program today, we have a short story called Quiet Please by Kevin Scott. However, we begin with an interview that takes a brand new look at the Kennedy assassination. The book, Destination Daily, Countdown to the Kennedy Conspiracy, is a work of fiction, but uses true events and people to tell the story from a whole new perspective. I had the great pleasure to sit down with the authors of this new book. It is my pleasure to welcome in the writing team of LDC Fitzgerald. They are the authors of the new book, Destination Daily, Countdown to the Kennedy Conspiracy. This is a daring new novel that flipped JFK's assassination on its head. LDC Fitzgerald is in fact a pen name representing the combined talents of two distinct writers, Lisa and Dave. While still laboring at their day jobs, the team wrote like maniacs for 6 years, sacrificing weekends and vacations to produce the masterpiece that is Destination Daily. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hi. It's good to be here. We're very excited.
Thanks.
Well, I think a great place for us to start is to talk about the author of the book. What can you tell us about LDC Fitzgerald, and how did you become JFK historians?
Okay, well, first the author. We wanted to write under one cohesive name because the book was written in a very cohesive manner, so we decided to use one pen name for two people because it gets very confusing when you're listed under two authors. And to be honest, my initials are LD and Dave's initials are DC, so that's how we ended up with LDC as the first part of the name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came from.
Are you actual JFK historians, or how did that work out? How did you become interested in JFK and the history thereof?
Well, we had been looking for a novel idea for a little while, and we watched this B-movie called Time Quest from around 2000 is when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, the hero goes back and saves JFK.
Oh, yeah?
And we thought, well, you know, we could do that, but we could do it a lot better. So it was my original idea to go back and kill JFK, but Lisa thought that,
well, I didn't think our readers would be very sympathetic if we went back and killed a beloved president. But that was where the impetus of the idea came from, to take the assassination and flip it on its head and do it in a different way. And that's where we got the idea, and that's when we started doing our research. We were two people who were always very interested in the Kennedy assassination, even though it happened actually before I was born, but it's something that has always been a good topic of conversation. And we really jumped in when we decided to do this. We didn't want to do anything by half. We jumped in and did a ton of research and read a lot of materials and read the Warren Commission and read through testimony, looked on the internet, looked at all the conspiracy theories. We actually visited Dallas several times, to the point of even making measurements of some of the locations and places down there in Dealey Plaza, which is actually called Dealey Plaza in Dallas where it happened. And we've even talked with and corresponded with some experts in the field. So, yes, we do call ourselves historians and experts now, but I wouldn't say that we were that far along when we started.
So it kind of brings up the question is, there are so many views to the assassination and so many ideas of, was it the KGB? Was it Oswald acting upon his own? Did you come up with any kind of idea that made you say, we believe that this is what happened?
Well, there's two things at work here. One is what's in the book, which is a fantastic, thrilling tale that explains the entire conspiracy.
And that
it is fiction, I will say. Well, we don't want to give away the whole ending, but it does explain about the conspiracy and who was involved, and it is a fictional presentation. But we each have kind of differing opinions on what really happened in real life.
Hmm. Well, I guess a good way for us to jump into that is to talk about the book itself. Now, I've actually read about 30% of it, I would say, and I'm completely absorbed. It's a wonderful read with great characters and an out-of-this-world story. But can you give us an overview of the whole book and kind of lead us through what the book is about?
Absolutely. Well, the story opens in a world where KGB snipers botched the assassination of John F. Kennedy in Dealey Plaza, Dallas, 50 years ago, killing his wife, Jackie, instead.
Hmm.
And this heinous crime enrages Americans and triggers an ongoing war with Russia. Now, it starts in present day, where the two superpowers are hell-bent on annihilating each other, and the world teeters on the brink of Armageddon. And we put in a team of outlaws who time travel back to 1963 to fix history. To save the future, they must right the wrongs of the past. But, as I like to say, their plans may go awry.
Yeah.
And all the events count down in a ticking clock back to November 22nd, 1963, to ground zero of the assassination, Dealey Plaza in Dallas. And it's really a fast-paced thriller with a lot of twists and turns. There's a bunch of surprises and even some humor. And we like to think it's a really fun read.
Yeah, and I'd also like to say when our team goes back to 1963, they do encounter people who are actual participants in the assassination and the conspiracy back in 1963. So you're going to hear from Lee Harvey Oswald and the political powers that are involved, John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, as well as Jack Ruby is involved, and Mrs. Ruth Payne, who is the person that lived with, or actually Oswald's wife, Marina, lived with Mrs. Payne in 1963. And the rifle that Oswald used that was allegedly used in the assassination was stored in her garage. So all those people, as well as the police officer who was also murdered that day, that a lot of people forget about, J.D. Tippit, he's a main character in our novel. So all this comes together and forms into really like a interlocking puzzle of the fact and the fiction that gives you this conspiracy story.
Well, I guess that kind of brings up the question for me is, how difficult was it for you to decide which elements of fact to use versus fiction? And what are your thoughts on that?
It was really hard. It was probably one of the hardest things we ever did. Probably the hardest thing I ever did in my life. We had a million index cards where we had the facts of the assassination laid out, and then we interspersed our fictional characters and what they might be doing. And it took a really long time to weave it all together. We worked on the book a really long time with a lot of research.
A lot of do-overs.
A lot of do-overs.
You would try to fit it together in a certain way and decide that it wasn't strong enough. And I think the real trick was trying to come up with motivations for each of the players.
Yeah, a lot of these people, their motivation is...
They did some crazy things.
Yeah, they did a lot of crazy things. Their motivation was dubious. So, why did Ruby kill Oswald 48 hours after Oswald allegedly assassinated Kennedy?
Right. And why did Oswald kill this police officer, J.D. Tippit? Why did Tippit stop Oswald on the street? So there's a lot of questions that we needed to find a plausible, realistic answer, and everything had to lead up to that. It was really very difficult.
I can imagine. I guess what I love about the book so far is the fact that this, I'm going to call it an alternate universe at the beginning, because I don't know how else to describe it. But you use some current names. I'll throw one out there. Oliver North as president. And it just, it's all things that certainly could have happened. And I think you're to be commended for the fact that you were able to create an alternate universe that is 100% plausible. Great job
Thank
on that.
Thank you. I think we have W. Bush's brother, Jeb Bush, as the vice president at some point, too.
Yeah, you do, actually.
Ronald Reagan's in there, so that was a lot of fun.
That was actually the fun part.
We kind of enjoyed ourselves putting in.
It was great stuff. I mean, it's all people I've heard of, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, that makes sense. Why not? and then you're to be commended for that. I would love to be able to do that kind of book, is to where you can take real people and say, okay, this is what really happened. And that's good stuff. You kind of talked about this, but I think I'd like to get a little more into it. So you chose the JFK's assassination as your point of interest for this fiction novel. I'd really like to know is what really inspired the whole concept. I mean, was there any one thing in the assassination and the conspiracy that said to you, this is it, this is why this is a good story?
Well, it may have been JFK himself. He was a very charismatic leader, and people really like him. Even today, he's always on these polls. He's always voted one of the most popular presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And one of
he
the
sure
best
is.
Speakers of the 20th century. And even like when I was a kid in the 60s, a lot of people had pictures of Kennedy in their living rooms and stuff. And he was very popular. And he's almost like a mythical figure now, the way he is remembered.
Mm-hmm.
I think the assassination, too, is such an unbelievable event that seared into people's memories who were alive at the time. But for everyone else, it's this huge conspiracy that everyone talks about. I mean, since we started this project, I can't tell you how many times we've seen it covered in fictional movies and books and television. It's just this big mystery that everyone wants to solve. And I think it's probably one of the biggest ones. I mean, you could talk about other ones. You know, was there a conspiracy with Princess Diana or things like that? The Titanic, maybe. But I think that the JFK conspiracy just blows them all away in terms of the amount of press and people talking about it. And to be honest, we are counting on a lot of publicity around it because the 50th anniversary is next
year.
Yes,
it is.
So that was really, you know, not far back in our minds when we started this project. Probably thought it wouldn't have taken us as long as it did, but we really want to capitalize on that because you're going to be seeing a lot more news as the date approaches in November of 2013, the 50th anniversary. And everyone's going to be clamoring for what's the truth and what's the real truth and when are the documents going to come out. I don't really know which documents they mean, but there's going to be intensified speculation. And even 10 years ago when people were polled about it, usually around two-thirds of the American public believe that Oswald did not act alone. Something else is going on. There was a conspiracy. So we thought it was a great topic. And it's a lot of fun to talk about with people. I mean, we never, as is probably obvious now, never get tired of talking about it.
No. So do you think that over the next year, between now and November of next year, that there's going to be a breakthrough in terms of something that we don't know that may help us understand the magical bullet and the, you know, all of these wonderful things that make us want to find out what happened here?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be some magic revelation that's going to come out with all the truth and stuff. I think there's going to be a lot more speculation and a lot more people becoming interested or more interested.
Hopefully new theories.
Yeah, we always love new theories.
I think that there's even, the more research we do, we keep seeing new theories. Some are very small theories on exactly who shot where, and then other ones are more broad about who masterminded the assassination. I mean, one thing we were just talking about is this theory on the internet lately where one of Kennedy's limo drivers, who was a Secret Service agent, turned around and shot him and killed him.
Hmm.
Which is a little implausible to me, but it's a great theory.
Hmm.
But I don't think anyone's going to come up with a definitive answer. I think this is something that's going to be, people are going to have opinions, but no one's ever going to be able to say, aha, that's it, the book is closed.
Hmm. So you don't see any new hidden theories out there that are really going to solve all the problems?
Well, I think there are going to be a ton of them, and different people are going to believe different things. And our book itself will probably engender new theories, and people capitalize on some of the things that we have, because we have a few innovative things that happen in Dealey Plaza and surrounding it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you said that the KGB was involved, so.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of hit on something I was going to ask about, and that was your whole theories on time travel and using antimatter as anti-time. I found that utterly fantastic.
Thank you.
Is there, now I hope you won't take offense to this, but is there an actual theory of anti-time being disturbed by antimatter?
I don't think so. I think we just made it up.
Well, you did a great job. That, I mean, I'm sitting here going, yeah, that makes sense.
It does make sense, right?
So,
I think that there have been a lot of different science fiction theories, and I think one of the it would seem like an obvious lead into us, antimatter, anti-time. Not that obvious, but yeah. It was a nice one. But I think one of the coolest things was one of Dave's ideas that they would travel in time, but not in space.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole where do we land relative to the Earth kind of issue that you never see, or hardly ever probably, in science fiction. Although this book, I would never call it science fiction. But in that kind of realm, where would you really end up? That was a great idea that we played with as well. We had a lot of fun with that.
Well, it comes off as, well, I believe that. Where, sign me up. Let's go.
I know. I wish we had the time machine right here.
Yeah. I guess another thing I wanted to take a minute and talk about was about your writing style. I absolutely love the flow of the book. It's, to me, it's crafted to be read in section like you would find in a memoir or historical piece. Was that your intention to write it like that?
Our intention was to write it the way we like to read books. We like things to be fast-paced and that you want to go from one page to the next. And we wanted it to be where someone ended a chapter and immediately wanted to go to the next one. And we also didn't want to waste a lot of time on a lot of elaborate description. There's definitely a description in the book, but we tried to keep it to a minimum and get to the core of the story. And we ended up having a lot of different people doing different things at the same time. So that's, you probably noticed each of our chapters is sort of broken down by time. Again, everything relates to the ticking clock. So we have a set of people doing one thing, and then there's a break, and then you can see what other people are doing around the same time to kind of break it up. But that's kind of the way we like, we like books like that, and that's what we are striving for. Rather than books that have fewer, we have a lot of chapters. There's, I think, 80 or something.
86,
a lot
I
of
think.
Books. Is it? Thank you. You know, I haven't read it in a while. It's just so funny, and the number of chapters change so many times. But, you know, I prefer that to a book that has very, very long chapters, and it takes you a long time to get through them. So we've tried to write it the way we like to read.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you, it fits in my lifestyle just great. Pick it up where you can read 2-3 chapters and then come back. I think it's a great style. I haven't quite seen it quite like that before though, and so it, I don't know. It's another big plus for me on the book itself.
I've heard that actually from some working moms or even stay-at-home moms. They're like, I can get through a couple of chapters in between things and put it down before the next task or the next thing.
Yeah, and so it's great for that. If you have, you know, a few minutes, sit down, you know you can get through a couple chapters. And also, it really helps you with your point of view because you're able to change point of view so quickly and without, you know, confusing the reader because they know, okay, now we're with D or now we're with, I think his name's
Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, thank you. Sorry, they just totally slipped my mind. But, I mean, so switching him back and forth in that point of view, it just makes that a lot easier and easier to follow and keep track of where you are in the story. So I really like the writing style, and I had to mention that.
Thank you.
So is there anything else you want to tell us about the book? Anything else that you want to mention that you think the listeners would be interested in?
Well, yeah, this is our opportunity to self-promote, so we're going to take advantage.
No, let's go for it.
The book is available online through all the standard places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and also through our website. You can get links to those places, which is destinationdealey.com, and that's spelled DEALEY.com. Sometimes there's some confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we're having kind of a summer sale right now, and our ebook is retailing for only $2.99, which we think is a fantastic price.
Oh, it is.
And the paperback is $9.97, so that doesn't seem to break the bank either, so we're hoping that people will be interested. And if anyone is interested in the hardcover, we have that as well, and the price, as kind of we had to do it, is $19.63. So $19.63
for
the year.
Classic.
It's a little subtle. Not everyone gets that, so... But we want to just tell people it's out there, and we're selling in all those places. We've actually achieved the top 100 of conspiracy books on Amazon's Kindle rankings, which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just trying to get the word out there.
Well, I know I'm gonna be one of your avid reviewers. I'm gonna get you a nice review up there because I think you've done an outstanding job. Will there be a sequel to Destination Daily?
A sequel?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
We're still working on promoting this one, and then when the dust settles, we have to come up with a new idea. We're actually looking for new ideas.
Yeah. So we're watching a lot of bad movies.
And then you're going to fix them.
Yes.
Would you consider, taking another historical event?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I could think of a whole bunch of them that just pop into my head that I would love to see done done something like this. And you have this wonderful team. I got to tell you, when it comes to books, or let me just say stories in general, the thing I love about stories is that they take you to a place, number one, you haven't been before. And the best thing I like in a story is when you have to throw a group of people together that don't know each other, and they have to solve a big problem. And you got both of those.
I guess we do.
Yeah.
So I think you've got a great book, and I want to tell my listeners that I highly recommend it and think you should grab a copy of it. It'll be well worth your time. So for one more time here, can you go through your website? Do you have Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, our website is destinationdaily.com. Daily spelled DEALEY. Destination spelled normal. And yeah, we're on Facebook. We have a Twitter account under LDC Fitzgerald. Facebook, we're under Destination Daily. We're all over the internet. We're pretty easy to find. If you just put Destination Daily in Google, it'll come up with a couple of pages worth of sites, a bunch of which are ours, thankfully.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for taking the time to come in on the show. I'm sure that the listeners appreciate it, and I'll be looking forward to your book. And you are welcome to come back anytime, and we can talk about your next book, where you rescue Custer.
Oh,
okay. We'll write that down. Well, thanks so much. We really enjoyed this.
Yeah, yep. That was great.
Well, thank you, and have a great day.
Okay,
thanks,
you
too.
Well, that was great fun for me, and I trust that you enjoyed Lisa and Dave as much as I did. I hope they take my idea and go back in time and save George Custer. I wonder what impacts on history that would cause. Next up on the show, we have a very short story called Quiet, Please, by Kevin Scott. It is a science fiction tale that deals with the whole concept of noise and the desire for peace and quiet. It is read for us by Jerome Lawson and comes to us from our friends at LibriVox.org. I've added music and some sound effects to increase the fun factor.
Groverbs knew what he wanted. Peace and quiet. He was willing to scream his head off for it. The big man eased the piano off his back and stood looking at Groverbs.
You ain't gonna like it here.
He mopped his face.
Boy, will I ever be glad to get off this cockeyed planet.
Groverbs pushed at his spectacles, sniffed, and said, Quite. The big man said,
Ain't no native here over 3 feet tall, and they got some crazy kind of communication. They don't talk.
Groverbs said,
Quiet.
Huh?
Precisely why I am here,
said Groverbs, sniffing again.
Loathe conversation.
Oh, well.
He left. Alone, Groverbs surveyed his realm. The house was the shell of what had formerly been a little people apartment building. Ceilings, floors, and walls had been removed to form one large room. The tiny doors and windows had been sealed, and a single window and door had been cut into the shell for Groverbs' use. Crude, but serviceable. Groverbs walked to the window and looked down the slope. Little people buildings dotted the landscape, and the people themselves scurried silently about. Yes, thought Groverbs, it would do nicely. He had brought an adequate food tablet supply. He would finish, without the distraction of voices, his beautiful concerto. He would return to Earth famous and happy. Armed with paper and pencils, he went to the piano, having decided to enlarge upon the theme in the second movement. His mind knew exactly how the passage should run, and he swiftly covered the paper with sharp, angular notes. Then he triumphantly lifted his hands and began to play what he had written. He jerked back from the keyboard, his hair on end, his teeth on edge, his ears screaming with the massive sounds he had produced. He looked at his hands, peered at the score, adjusted his spectacles, and tried again. "I'm tired," he thought, recoiling in horror from the racket. "A food tablet and a nap will remedy the situation." When he awoke, Groverbs walked to the window, refreshed. A violet glow had replaced the harsh yellow light of the day. At the foot of the slope, the little people dashed to and fro, but no voice broke the peaceful quiet of the evening. With a sigh of satisfaction, Groverbs went to the piano. Gently, he struck the keys. Blatant, jumbled noise filled the room. Breathing hard, Groverbs rose and gingerly lifted the spinet's lid. No, nothing amiss there. Good felts, free hammers, solid sounding board. Must be out of tune. Groverbs closed the lid, sat down, and struck a single note. A clear tone sang out. He moved chromatically up and down the scale, definitely not out of tune. He shifted the score, glanced uneasily at the keys, and began to play. Discord immediately pierced his eardrums. He clapped his hands over his ears and leaped wildly from the piano bench.
"The trip," he decided frantically. "It must have affected my hearing."
He flung himself from the house and down the slope. The little people scattered, staring. He charged into the administration building and clutched the lapels of a uniformed official.
"A doctor," he gasped. "Now, this minute."
The official raised his eyebrows and removed Groverbs' hands with distaste.
"It's a little late in the day," he drawled, "but maybe the doc up on the top floor."
Groverbs flew up the stairs and into the doctor's office. The doctor's face lit up.
"A patient," he exclaimed. "Capital. What seems to be the trouble? Food poisoning? Shouldn't eat the food here. Garbage. Appendix? Heart attack?"
"Stop talking, you idiot. It's my ears."
Obviously disappointed, the doctor nevertheless poked and peered at Groverbs' ears.
"No," he said finally. "A trifle big, yes, but nothing wrong with them."
"You're sure?"
"Absolutely. A pity. I'm getting a bit rusty."
With a groan, Groverbs staggered out of the building, back through town, and up the slope to his house. Seating himself firmly on the bench, he began to play. He shuddered. The noise was abominable. Suddenly his door burst open and a crowd of little people rushed in. They pulled him off the bench and slapped angrily at his hands. Then with cutters, they attacked the piano.
"Here, stop that,"
Groverbs screeched.
"What do you think you're doing?"
The little people pushed and dragged him out of the house, down the slope, through the town, and into the launching bowl at the space strip. The launching agent took one look and yelled,
"Get the interpreter! On the double!"
The interpreter ran up and whipped something from his pocket. It looked like a miniature piano skeleton. He tripped a hammer. There was a faint tinkle. Instantly, one of the little people produced a single miniature hammer and tapped it rapidly against his skull. The interpreter tripped another hammer. A second little one responded. Suddenly, one of the little people ran over and tripped all the interpreter's hammers simultaneously. The little people winced.
"Oh, well, it's their planet."
He hustled Groverbs out to a freight ship that was warming up for takeoff.
"Is everyone insane?"
Groverbs croaked.
"Not a man to know what this is all about."
The interpreter shoved Groverbs into the ship.
"They say you talk too much,"
he yelled as he slammed the door.
Thank you.
that was a cool story, and I thought it was perfect to round off this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
What's that you say?
This week I had a very special email. However, the sender asked that it not be read on the show. I was saddened because I thought it was a great story and wanted to share it. I wrote the person back and got permission to read the email if I kept it completely anonymous and changed the location. So, here is that note. Hello. I wanted to write you and thank you for the great podcast. I am a nurse and volunteer each year with Doctors Without Borders. This past rotation, I was working in Africa with a mobile group that travels from village to village, helping with medical issues and illnesses. The travel between villages is difficult, long, and roads are sometimes non-existent. Before I left, I downloaded about 30 of your shows to my MP3 device. Listening to your programs made time pass, and that is very important to keep your spirits up. What I like about your program is the variety. You never know what is coming, except that it will be of good quality. Keep your shows coming, and thank you again. Signed, Anonymous. Well, first, let me thank you for allowing me to share your letter. That means a lot to me, but not as much as your note. You are the reason I do this show and will continue. Your email inspires me to do that much better. God bless your efforts in caring for the needy. I want to thank the writing team of LDC Fitzgerald for being on the show. I highly recommend Destination Dili, and I think you'll be hearing a lot more about this book as we draw closer to the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. On next week's show, we will continue with the interviews. Mike McNeff will be here to promote his highly rated book, Gattu, a Robin Marlett novel. Mike is a 40-year law enforcement veteran and experienced trial attorney. He's been able to pull from this experience and write an action-packed police thriller. So, tune in for that one. There are many ways to find out what's happening on the podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and of course by email. All the links you'll need for these are on the main website at ronsamazingstories.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.